Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Is it necessary to revise and correct revelations given by God? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are going to conclude our look at an article in the January 2013 edition of Ensign Magazine titled, Great and Marvelous Are the Revelations of God. In this article, they are trying to explain why there are some discrepancies between the way the revelations were printed originally, at least that's the section we're looking at now, printed originally in the Book of Commandments and then altered later on in the Doctrine and Covenants. The subtitle in this section is Many Revelations Were Later Revised by Joseph Smith Through Inspiration. And yesterday we discussed the second paragraph. Why don't you recap that? Let's look at that again.
All right, let me read it here. Some of the needed changes stem from errors made by scribes as Joseph dictated the revelation to them. Other changes were made as later revelations incorporated more teachings that had not been part of the initial revelation. The revelation now known as Doctrine and Covenants, Section 27, is an example. Joseph Smith's history explained that the first part of the revelation was received and written down in August 1830, and quote, the remainder in the September following, end quote. In the earliest manuscripts, only verses 1 through 5 and parts of 15 and 18 were included, but as the text of the revelation was being prepared for publication in the 1835 Doctrine and Covenants, the second portion of the revelation was added, nearly tripling the size of the revelation.
Now, there's a lot of controversy with this additional amount because the part that was added really had nothing to do with the part that was already there. It's a completely different topic, and it has to do with the priesthood, which of course is a very important aspect of Mormonism. You must have this priesthood authority. Mormons would argue that that's one of the reasons why they are representing the true church and all others are in a state of apostasy is because they do not have this priesthood authority. Now, not all Mormons bought into this addition to various revelations, did not go for this correcting and altering, and one of those men was David Whitmer, who wrote a booklet titled An Address to All Believers in Christ. When it comes to section 27, he contradicts what is in this Ensign article, because he says, when the Book of Commandments was printed, Joseph and the church received it as being printed correctly. And of course, here at the beginning of that paragraph says some of the needed changes stem from errors made by scribes as Joseph dictated the revelation to them. Well, if it's a correction made on a revelation that was originally found in the Book of Commandments, David Whitmer would say that's not true. They did believe it as it was printed in the Book of Commandments. Now, he talks about in section 27 about the great majority of the text being added later on. He talks about how part of it was written down in August 1830 and the remainder in the September following. This is what's confusing to me, Eric, because I am looking at a copy of the Book of Commandments.
What's the Book of Commandments?
The Book of Commandments preceded the Doctrine and Covenants. It was revelations given by Joseph Smith up until this particular time when it was printed in 1833. In 1835, the Mormon Church came out with the Doctrine and Covenants, and they incorporated those earlier commandments into the 1835 edition of the Doctrine and Covenants. However, some of what they incorporated was, as this article admits, was corrected, revised, added to, and such, including, as it says, section 27. In the Book of Commandments, it was known as chapter 28. It says this, a commandment to the Church of Christ given in Harmony, Pennsylvania, September 4th, 1830. The date is September 4th, 1830. Now remember, this article says Joseph Smith's history explained that the first part of the revelation was received and written down in August 1830.
Mm-hmm.
The commandment itself is dated September 4th.
How could you have something written later? I mean, we've got a month disparity there. And this 1833 edition from the Book of Commandments is before the Doctrine and Covenants. And it's saying August, and the Book of Commandments is saying September.
September 4th. So what we find in the Book of Commandments was given to a commandment to the Church of Christ, given in Harmony, Pennsylvania, September 4th, 1830. When you read section 27 in the Doctrine and Covenants, it says revelation given to Joseph Smith the prophet at Harmony, Pennsylvania, August 1830.
Not September 4th.
Not September 4th. So we certainly have a discrepancy between the dates. Now, they want us to believe that the first few portions of this were written down first. Well, it sounds like they were written down later.
Yeah,
if you're
yeah.
going to take that explanation, it doesn't make sense to me. There seems to be a discrepancy. But I think the bigger controversy is not so much the date in this, but what was added and why. What does D. Michael Quinn say about that?
Well, he says on page 30 of his book, The Mormon Hierarchy, Origins of Power, he says, by 1835, Smith and Cowdery had good reason to be vague about the introduction of Melchizedek priesthood. Doctrinal statements published from 1835 on could not comfortably be retrofitted to the unaltered documents of the 1830 church. The 1835 Doctrine and Covenants not only added the passage referring to John the Baptist and Peter, James, and John, it also published the 1832 revelation, which asserted that the higher priesthood, quote, continueth in the church of God in all generations, end quote. That's D&C 84:17. This revelation, which was extraordinarily important as the first detailed explanation of priesthood, did not appear in the 1833 Book of Commandments. Although it clarified issues, it also made it awkward to explain that Smith organized the church in April 1830 without Melchizedek priesthood.
And that's what I think is missing here. If that was so important, why is it not mentioned? Now, you could say, well, why didn't Joseph Smith just give a new revelation and insert it in the 1835? Well, he can't, because without that priesthood
yes.
authority, that messes up the Mormon Church's entire claim to its authenticity. It needs that in there. So instead of coming up with a newer revelation, which is dated much too late,
yep.
he has to squeeze it in to what was originally known as chapter 28, Roman numeral 28, in the Book of Commandments. And as D. Michael Quinn admits, it's awkward.
Well, that's the power of retroactive revelation, because now you can go back and what should have been said, what ought to have been communicated by God, now he's able to finish the work. But that begs the question, how can he do that and have such memory of what was actually supposed to have been said? If God may have said that, he just didn't put it in, or did God come back and say, oh, I wanted you to add that in? I don't think either possibility is going to help the case very much.
Well, if you're going to listen to the story as it's told today, Joseph Smith wrote down just a few of the verses or sections here, verses, and then later on comes back to finish it up. Does he do that by memory?
Well, yeah.
I mean, I am reading, now this is a pre-1981 heading. You have a post-1981 mm-hmm. heading where it says he was met by a heavenly messenger and received this revelation, the first four paragraphs of which were written at the time,
and the
remainder in the September following.
Yeah, and it says here a portion of which was written at the time, so it doesn't say even the specific number.
And in this article, it says in the earliest manuscripts, only verses 1 through 5 and parts of 15 and 18 were included. So we have all sorts of numbers being thrown out there. But doesn't it seem odd? He gets this revelation. He just writes down a few of the words. And then he comes back, and are we to assume by memory he writes the rest of this?
Again, it begs the question, why didn't God just give the revelation in the very beginning and solve the whole problem? God is omniscient. He would have known that this could have caused problems for Joseph Smith later. So he needed to have given him that revelation immediately, or if he did give that revelation immediately, Joseph Smith should have incorporated that in the Book of Commandments, at least in my mind.
I would think so, and it just seems odd that he would write these down, and the date, according to this, gives you the impression that he wrote them down in August. When you go back to the Book of Commandments, you see that the date it's written down, or the date it's given, is September 4th, 1830, so we have a big discrepancy there. What should Latter-day Saints think about this? I mean, it's easy for many of them, because you and I have talked to many Latter-day Saints about these problem areas in their own history. And most Latter-day Saints just blow it off like, who cares? Should we, as outsiders looking critically at this religion, have that same kind of flippant attitude that many Latter-day Saints have towards their own history? It's amazing to me, because when I bring up a lot of these problem areas that I have found in my study of Mormonism, most Mormons think I'm just taking things way too seriously.
Well, on the first show that we dealt with the first page of this article, I think it all stems down to this. Those who believe that Joseph Smith's revelations contain the voice of the Lord speaking to them also accepted the miraculous ways in which the revelations were received. If you're going to be a Latter-day Saint, you can't be critical of the material. You can't look at the way we're looking at it, but rather you have prayed about this to whether or not this is true. James 1:5, Moroni 10:4, the pet verses that are used, and you're going to have to accept the idea that Joseph Smith was a prophet, so he has the free rein to do whatever he wants, including retroactive revelation. I think this is a horrible precedent, and it allows him to get away with so much in the next decade, too. He gets away with a lot of things that he's able to say, this is what God has told me, but there's no proof that there's anything having to do with God with the kinds of things that he's doing, and people are falling for it.
And what's so sad is that many times they go back to this, well, just pray about it.
Yeah.
How many times have I been told when I raise up some of these problems that a Mormon will say, well, just pray about it. You need to pray about it. As if somehow God devised prayer to make facts go away.
Well, just like the missionaries that recently visited you said that you were being stubborn and prideful.
I had to repent of my pride, and that's why I would not be baptized in the Mormon church. No, folks, that's not really why I have a problem with joining the Mormon church. I have a problem because its history is problematic. I have a problem because its doctrine is problematic. If it doesn't match what God has revealed in the Bible, then certainly I think we should raise these questions. And not only should outsiders be raising these questions, I would hope that if you are a rational Latter-day Saint, that you also would be raising these questions.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Let me ask you this. Are you confidently prepared to share your faith with your Latter-day Saint friend or acquaintance? Do you feel you have an adequate grasp of Mormon doctrine and history? Well, if not, then we encourage you to attend Mormonism Research Ministries' Compassionate Boldness Symposium coming up on Saturday, March 23rd. This four-hour event will take place at Shadow Mountain Church in West Jordan, Utah. MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson will focus on such issues such as the Book of Mormon, the Godhead, and salvation. Special emphasis will be made on how to answer LDS proof texts and the questions Mormons may pose. Now again, this event is free and open to the public, so everyone is invited to come. For those who would like to do further research, a book table will also be available. This Compassionate Boldness Symposium will take place starting at 9 a.m. on Saturday, March 23rd at Shadow Mountain Church, located just off Old Bingham Highway at 9324 South and 5600 West in West Jordan. As always, we look forward to seeing you there.